Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty to welcome in Stephanie Gray and Hello. Brian Kraft from the Immersive Experience Special Events Company, Gray Productions. Stephanie, Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you guys could come down. So I know you got a lot going on. I know you just recently had the 2-year anniversary of Art Lab and you're about to start your new event, Cabaret on the Boulevard. But I also know that both of you've got kind of a rich history. I shouldn't say kind of, most definitely a rich history in the arts. And I kind of want to get your stories of how you get to the point where you come together and start doing these awesome things you're doing as Gray Productions. So Stephanie, if you wouldn't mind, tell me a little bit about how this DNA gets woven into you.
Oh, I like that word, woven. New immersive experience coming sooner than later. My grandparents were in the symphony. They were first chair flutists.
Cool.
I never witnessed that, but my mother played a little bit of the flute. She always had a love for classical music and the ballet, and got together with my stepdad when I was about 3. He was a classical ballet dancer. So in Atlanta, you know, I remember my childhood being filled with lots of makeup and costumes and fun. And I was in the dance studios and I was at the theaters and, you know, it was really fun and magical. My stepdad taught for a while for other people and did choreography until my parents opened up their own dance school they're probably around 25-ish years now. They also have a nonprofit dance company. They have a 17,000 square foot space in Greater Atlanta.
Wow.
So they are usually, they were catering, you know, teaching about like 500 students a year before COVID, and they're maintaining around 3 now. So, you know, I grew up singing, dancing, and acting. So I did, you know, the classical ballet, hip hop, flamenco, character, tap, all of that. I also did musical theater. So, you know, there was a long period where the idea was Stephanie was going to be famous on Broadway, you know, but life happened. And I went to SCAD in Atlanta for interior design, you know, more art, just different. And, you know, I helped launch a dance agency in Atlanta. That's Excel Talent. It's worldwide. They've got a really cool recording studio and dance studio.
Nice.
With really rad guitars on the wall. It's
Love
a wood
it.
Wall just like yours.
Love it.
You know, so this is just, it is my life. It's in my DNA. It's my nature. It's my nurture. I love to perform. I really enjoy bringing people together. I really kind of started throwing events probably in 5th grade. Mm-hmm. I did a Christmas party at somebody's house. There was lots of Mariah Carey playing.
Yes.
And then I did a Halloween party in 6th grade at a hotel at the Holiday Inn. My brother was the DJ. I think
Dang.
We probably had food. You know, and it went on from there. Like whether I was, you know, I have a real estate license in Georgia. Whether it was there creating like internal events to bring people together or mm-hmm. just brokering friendships, if you will, I've always really enjoyed connecting people. And I think, you know, when you are something of a chameleon, it's a gift that you have and it's almost a responsibility because you can build those bridges and, you know, it's not always fun and easy. You know, there are lots of things to deal with when you have lots of people and lots of personalities and lots of artists in your life. But, you know, it's something I really enjoy. I want to celebrate life. I want to bring people together, help us build community however possible, generally speaking, through the arts. You know, so that's a bit of my backstory.
Well, whenever I hear people say things like that, when, you know, you've got such a solid foundation, you're so well rooted in that. And then, as you put it, life does happen. And we all know that. And you mentioned you had a deviation there where you went to school for interior design. So that makes me curious. What was life like for you in the patch where you weren't living day in, day out, artistic expression or being that chameleon to create those bridges? What was the deviation in your path like?
You know, it was... I was having a lot of fun, so to speak. You know, I was young and I was, you know, partying a little more and I got away from the arts and things. And, you know, I still feel like I miss performing and actually being on stage. You know, there is a little bit of a hole, but I realize, you know, being behind the curtain and being able to see the talent, you know, and bring that together, you know, is a really good place to be. But you know, it was sad to not be
right
doing that, you know, and in the choices I was making, you know, that wasn't exactly a very fulfilling lifestyle.
And the feeling of, man, these shoes don't fit just never really goes away.
Yeah. I mean, the shoe fits for me. Like I struggled with turnout. I don't have long legs for ballet, but I am a natural performer and I really do light up a stage.
Yeah.
And
that's a huge, you can't teach that part. I know that,
you know, but that's not my story. Maybe someday I'll jump in on the cabaret, or maybe, you know, my boyfriend and I will actually practice some music and he'll play guitar and I'll sing.
Very good.
But you know, in the meantime, you know, being able to bring people together and find good talent and entertain others, you know, I really enjoy that, and it's like something of a Wizardess of Oz thing.
So that's kind of where the road gets you to Sarasota.
So I moved here about 5 years ago from Atlanta.
So just before COVID?
Yes, it was fabulous. I got here just in time.
It's funny how that kind of comes up for everybody, the way that COVID things. It doesn't matter what your background is. Well, how does COVID come in, you know, and it's the, you know, where you are in that timeline.
You know, I was talking in a group about COVID recently, and it's, as time has gone on, I've been able to really realize, and it was not such a bad year for us. No. You know, I was married at the time. My husband was what they called an essential worker. Mm-hmm. So we could still have income, but we had thankfully moved to Florida. We had a cute little house with a pool, and we lived by the nature preserve and the beach and the this, you know, it was, you know, my daughter was 4. I have a daughter who's 8.
Awesome.
So that was, you know, being that age too, it was easy to kind of shield her from a lot of the stuff that was going on with COVID. And we created so much magic. You know, I'm the celebrator. So it was an opportunity to, you know, celebrate life in some different, more strategic, creative ways, given, you know, the changes and the abilities to get out and about. You know, we also had a Disney passes that year. I went to Disney like 20 or 22 times in 2020.
Love it.
It was fabulous.
That's the way to actually get your money out of it.
It was fun. So, you know, we got a boat like the week. We didn't know. I wasn't paying attention to the news. My ex-husband may have, you know, seen some of that coming, but we had just gotten a boat also. So we were able to get up and get out and escape a lot and just really enjoy. So.
So at this point, you really weren't thinking about event planning and coordinating, or you were?
I was. I've always done that to a certain extent. You know, when I got going, it was 2012 in Atlanta.
Okay.
So I produced my first show. It was called Remove the Ego. It was was live dance and music. It was a really dedicated to bringing people together. And we had ballet, contemporary breakdancing, and hip hop all choreographed kind of seamlessly together. We had this band called the Symphony Crack Orchestra, which was led by the mad violinist, who was just an amazing, he plays like 26 instruments and really shreds the violin. Literally, like the strings are going flying. And it's fun to watch in addition to listen to. But that was a sold out audience of 800 at Terminal West, which was new at the time.
Very cool.
My friends built that out at King Plow Art Center, and I found sponsors. You know, Velodyne Acoustics was a sponsor. They sent me, you know, a good chunk of money, and they sent me like 100 pair of headphones that we gave away first to the performers and then to our guests. So it was a success, and like, you know, I was really immersed in the creative world in Atlanta. So it was a lot of my people that I brought together, you know.
So the bug bit you there.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was a lot of work. I had 26 performers in that show, in addition to all the other layers of artists and marketing people, et cetera, that got involved. But it was natural for me. So from there, I went on to produce events like an ALS benefit for a friend at Callenwald. You know, I did several things where they were nonprofit fundraisers. You know, I used to do a lot of fundraising for my events and also for my parents' nonprofit dance company. So I do have a fundraising background. I haven't done a whole lot of that yet in Sarasota, but, you know, I'm only just beginning here, I feel
right.
Like. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, well, it seems like one of the big themes is being able to bring diversity together, being able to bridge that gap and bring people together. And I know that's been a theme in Art Lab, and it seems it's going to be a theme in your new event going forward. So, Brian, I want you to kind of tell me how you get up to this point and you share in this ethos, because I know that you do, and where this flower is going to go from here a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So my background is I got my BFA in musical theater from Shenandoah Conservatory University in Virginia.
Cool.
And then I moved to New York City, and I did a lot of event activations there. And really, I feel like the reason Steph and I connect so much is because I strive to be a catalyst for connection in the community. Mm-hmm. I strive to bridge gaps, see people who are doing things that could enhance and help each other and really partner together. So I'm always trying to connect people and facilitate that connection. And I see that in her so much that I'm drawn to her. So that's, I think, why we really have connected so much and done so much together. But I think with the bridging of musical theater and entertainment and event activation, I do a lot of lighting. I have a lighting company, Limelight SRQ, and it's pretty extensive. It's a lot of different instruments and a lot of different kind of effects and that kind of stuff. So having those two worlds, this is really the first time that I'm able to marry those worlds. Hmm. I've been a performer my whole life, really, and I've never been, you know, producing something that I was able to do light and sound for, or do, you know, all that for as well with marketing. My background also is marketing too. So it's kind of like all the worlds coming together. So I've been in the marketing kind of sphere for a really, really long time too, with Chauvet Lighting and with the Bainbridge companies and all these different companies as their marketing director.
Crazy.
But yeah. So it's
I used
really
to
cool
sell
to
a lot
all.
Of DJ lights. I haven't heard someone say anything about Chauvet in a minute, but that gave me a weird flashback. Yeah. That's very cool.
They're great. They're amazing.
So is that how you initially came together, was doing lighting for Art Lab?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about Art Lab and where that starts, because that's kind of the impetus of the whole where we're going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tis. 2-ish years ago. Yeah. 2 years ago. We just celebrated our two-year anniversary. I created Art Lab as a monthly artist networking event. So it was designed to bring the community together and to help me meet the artists in the community. We used to move that around different locations, whether it was a photography studio or an art gallery or a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm learning now that people kind of miss that, by the way. It's not moving around quite as much anymore, but every month was different, which was really fun just to even walk into a space and have no idea how we were going to set it up that day or how much
right.
we need to clean or vacuum, you know, it was just fun to set up, and it was free to artists. We had DJs that kind of eventually found their way to us. So we had music playing, you know, different artists would display their art as time went on. We gave free raffle tickets. We still do food and beverage, and like 99 Bottles started out originally as a sponsor. They would give me a, you know, product for that. And, sometimes people would donate, or sometimes I would, you know, need to just go purchase that. But it was really cool, and it really worked. And I think it got people really excited about, you know, where the arts could be going in Sarasota. You know, I've heard a lot of the same ideas and opinions from people who are from here or who have been here a long time that are longing for something a little more connective, immersive, creative, unique, you know, unpredictable.
Right.
You know, a lot of the things that like I've done or I'm doing, you know, people are doing these things all over the world.
Of course.
And bigger and better. But you know, these things we've been doing and the things that we, and you know, are going to be doing, there is a hunger and a thirst for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it started out as this free artist networking event. Then we moved to Artovation Hotel. Mm-hmm. We were on the roof there for about a year. We asked for love donations, so we weren't really charging. And it expanded, it grew. You know, we turned the cabanas there into art gallery spaces. So
right.
whether we had, you know, and usually one artist in each cabana, or on occasion, you know, one gallery was represented or one artist was represented at this event. Same DJs, they bring in guest DJs with them, you know, food, drink. We started bringing in performers, you know, to fit within themes. So it's really, it's meant to be a celebration of local art and music and, you know, something of a spectacle. We would like to sell art there. We've sold art a few times. We don't always sell art. I think there's still a lot of good work to be done to bring in, you know, more of the community.
Right.
To check off those boxes and to, you know, excite them about the arts and help them witness things and see things that they might not otherwise. So, you know, at this point, we are at Rose and Ivy. It's a newer version, excuse me, of the space to the right of the Opera House, if you're looking at it downtown.
Right.
Nick Perdue was a part of this event when he was at Artovation, and we decided to go with him to Rose and Ivy. So we really like our new home. It's this beautiful kind of jungly, immersive, intimate space, if
click,
you will.
Click, yeah.
Eclectic. Yeah, that's a great word. You know, so the same things are happening. We've simplified it a bit. We're highlighting one visual artist per month. So their art gets hung and the theme is kind of dictated around, you know, that art, that artist, you know, DJs. Brian does the lighting. We have Michael Murphy, otherwise known as Michael Murphy.
Yeah.
He does, he's a digital artist. So these are like, you know, video projections that go up, which he, you know, creates new every month. We have a team of like 11 people now, you know. We have spoken word from Elizabeth Wilson, who is the Sovereign Way. So it's a, it's a bit of a medicinal message. It's spoken word, but it's meant to kind of get people thinking a little deeper about what they're doing at Art Lab or why we come together and why we come together through the arts, what the message may be through the art. So there's a little more, you know, consciousness. That's a part of, you know, Gray Productions, community collaboration consciousness. So I feel like we're doing that. And I still feel like Art Lab is only in its beginning, you know. A lot of people say it takes about 3 years to really get going.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's evolved quite a bit. I think we know what we want, what we're after, and how to achieve that.
So when you say you see the yearning in our community for art to have maybe a revitalization, what does that look like other than people just saying to you what everybody says, oh, I wish it was this, I wish it was that? What does the gap look like to you, and what do you see that you do to fill that other than just put people in the same space?
Yeah, I see a very similar through line with what you're doing, bringing, you know, having a platform to get the word out and all that. And I think that what we're doing is we're providing the platform for not only the artists to showcase their pieces, but also for the community to come together, meet each other, you know, work together. Oh, you're doing this. This works really well with this. Kind of something that resonated with me was what you did with, or what Brandon did with his piece at the other place and turned it into a different medium and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Having those connections and facilitating those connections is really amazing. It's really cool to see someone who sees something in another artist's piece of work, kind of what Michael does too, where he looks at someone's art and turns it into a different medium and really features that and kind of highlights their art in that sense. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what we try to do is really out of the box, and it's really unique and immersive and engaging. And we want people to talk. We want that to be the catalyst for them to connect and talk and experience together. You know, there's a lot of the whole like VR world. Like, I mean, people could go into VR world and experience all these things and
right.
these AI generated art and things. But when you really feel the connection and the heartstrings and the actual really endowment into their work, I feel like that's what really resonates and that's what people are drawn to. And feedback that we've gotten has really just been, this is incredible to see everyone connecting, and this is incredible to have themes and have little sparks for people to connect to and then create upon. I think that that's really something we've tried to do a lot too, is give them the seed and with different ideas and themes and that kind of stuff. So it's been really cool to watch it grow too. I think initially we are trying to kind of marry the venues, and we are really focusing on showing our community different venues. And we were focused on, I feel like that was both of us. We were like, we want to highlight, and we would go around and meet people and try to find spaces that we thought were unique, that weren't activated and that weren't known by everyone. And
right.
we would try to highlight them and bring in the event for that purpose as well. And I think that we kind of, there was a lot going on. Like, it was like, you know. Like,
yeah, that's switching a venue is challenging.
It is, yeah. So I think that with having kind of a home base, we were more so able to focus, really hone in on, you know, we're featuring this artist. We can really, you know, give them everything they need. We can kind of provide the, you know, platform for them and mm-hmm. really raise them up and give them the recognition and just kind of visibility that they deserve and need.
You know, someone said to me recently, I don't really enjoy or like your recent artistic choices, but I respect that it's your event.
Wow.
And
diplomatic.
No one is immune to people's judgment and opinions, you know. But we, you know, we're not choosing artists because we like their art, you know, like, or, you know, usually we love it. That's not the criteria.
Right.
You know, there are relationships that have been built. There are relationships that we're building. There are a lot of artists that usually wouldn't be shown. We want to give that platform. It's not about liking the art. It's about supporting those with smaller voices, or, you know, giving them a bigger reach and saying, hey, you know, I mean, people like to drink the Kool-Aid. I mean, there is a lot of sheep herding going on. And if we can do it positively, I mean, you know, if one person likes something, maybe somebody else will too.
You're right. Amen to that.
It takes the beginning. You know, somebody's got to say, hey, I think this is cool, or this person is worthy of attention, their art, you know, come check it out.
That's the million-dollar word right there, attention. And you brought up a good point, or what gave me an idea when you said VR. You exist in a world now where we have a lot of bright, shiny, flashy things, and then the illusion of bright, shiny, flashy things that are almost equally as gravitating as actual art, as actual performers. What are some of the challenges that you guys have seen with trying to reinvigorate people with reconnecting with or being enthusiastic again about art in their face or actual performance or an eclectic nature of an event? And when you see those challenges, how have you been able to whittle away at them? Because you clearly are making some dents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think that people have been kind of, especially because of COVID and everything, people have kind of gravitated toward this world where everything is generated for them and they're able to experience things. But what they're missing and what they notably feel when they're with us at our events is that connection and is that, you know, seeing the artists there, getting to talk to them, getting to even see them paint and see them like work in their mediums. I think that that's something that they'll always come back for. They'll always come back for that experience of seeing the artist in their element and like really embracing the people who are there to support them and tell them about the pieces and tell them like what inspired them about the piece. I think that's really what people keep coming back for. They're like, this was so engaging. Everyone always leaves the event and they're like, wow, like I learned so much about this new artist and I saw so many cool things and I met so many unique, interesting people who kind of inspired something in me and gave me an idea. And I want to explore that. And I want to come back to the next art lab and connect with them again and like talk about it more and show them what I've done. And it's really open. And I think that that is something that we strive to always be, is open. We're never... a lot of things in the arts can get clicky, especially with my background with like theater. It can be very, very clicky. It can be very, you know, this person is this role, this type of role in every show we do. This person's this role. Like you kind of can't get into like the kind of the club, for lack of a better word. The troupe is, you know, it would kind of be in like Shakespearean like way. But like that kind of mentality definitely exists in the theater world. But I think what Steph has done from the beginning is create something that is so all-inclusive and so open and warm and welcoming and invigorating. Use the word invigorating, and that struck it with me too, because it is a reinvigoration. It is,
right.
You know, it is different, and it is something that isn't cut and dry branded. It's not something that's like, you know, a gallery art show at a hotel where the artist isn't even there and it got shipped in from New York and hung, and you know, they're there and like they're even painting as you're milling around at the event. So it's and it's cool, the different mediums too. I always kind of fall back on painting, but you know, there's so much. I mean, with Michael and with we try to really diversify the mediums that we present and that we connect with and give that opportunity for, I think.
Yeah. And that I would like to take Jack a little aside here. Tell me a little bit about the ethos and the name Gray, because that sort of plays into this.
I was about to.
Yeah. Great. Because I was thinking that. Okay. So lay it on me.
Perfect.
Thank you for sticking with us. We hope you're enjoying the episode. We'd like to take this opportunity to give a shout out to our number one supporter, Tweed Suit Shop.
Hey guys, I'm Donald with Tweeds. If you're ever in the market for a custom suit, tuxedo, sport coat, whatever it might be, we'd love the opportunity for you to come in, take all your measurements, make sure we get you the perfect fit and the perfect look. We'd love to see you at one of our locations.
So remember, if you want to give yourself fresh like this, tip to tail, see Tweeds at one of their locations in Sarasota, St. Pete, or Tampa. Please enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it got me thinking about that because that's exactly what it is. You know, yeah. Gray is not my last name. It's a word. And so it's, you know, generally speaking, we are forced to choose this or that, black or white, you know, and that really isn't where I believe we reside in life. That is not where the juicy, lovely, tasty parts of life are. It's in the middle. I mean, it's the gray. It's about the gray. And why does gray have to be this kind of, generally speaking, I think when we think of gray, we think of sulky, kind of mundane, right. Blah. Yeah. If it's everything in between, it's the rainbow, mm-hmm. You know. And so the brand is colorful, it's bold. And instead of choosing, I mean, do you know, like, when you use G-R-E-Y or when is it G-R-A-Y? Do we know anyone?
No, you just do it wrong and beg for forgiveness, exactly. Plead ignorance.
So instead of trying to choose, I just decided to spell it a different way. So it's G-R-A-E. So there is a good bit of thought behind, you know, the business and being all inclusive and supporting all of the arts. And, you know, it's like Brian's talking about the the things that go on within the theater world. Every little group has their stuff. And, you know, not only can you bring people together within their respective groups, then you go outside of the groups and you say, oh, check out this group, you know, and the things you're doing that are working for you and the things that you're doing that are not working for you are not so different. And how about you have a conversation about that? You know, work together, make something more beautiful, but you can also build community around the support you have of what you're dealing with, you know, helpful and not helpful, you know? So yeah, it's bold, it's colorful, it's conscious. It's about opening people's minds and opening their eyes to new things. You know, the growth happens in the discomfort, right?
Right.
And it doesn't really matter how uncomfortable the scenario is, whether you're out and about on a Tuesday night coming to Art Lab, trying to get out of like your comfort zone to meet some new folks, you know, or you're going through something rather troubling in your life. You know at some point we kind of figure out in our lives that this is where the good stuff is. It might feel really hard in the moment, but it's going to get better after that because you've, you know, gone through something new and something challenging. You're seeing a new perspective, you know, perspective shift. Yeah.
So when you can bring different groups of people together that allow that perspective shift and that mutual inspiration to occur, that's like the top level get out of it. You know what I mean? When you can have some open-mindedness and share the same space, you're going to have mutual inspiration and all those things. What do you think really the intrinsic benefit is of that gets extrapolated from that point, kind of where you're at, where you're talking about what it does for the community? Because I think that you guys are in a unique position to kind of shed some light on that, because I find that oftentimes people forget what art does for people. And I think you guys get to see that a lot. So what do you find that just beyond being inclusive and letting everybody be mutually inspired by one another, what is the art intrinsically, the sharing of it, doing?
Yeah, I think that it's really just connecting. I think it just always comes back to connecting. And when people see art that wouldn't be, you know, right for a lobby of an apartment complex or right for, you know, a certain show, nothing's really right for us. Like we embrace everything. And I think that our follower base in attendees, they expect that. Like they know that what they see is going to be completely different than what they saw at the last one. So I think that the biggest win is seeing someone who does feel like they've been stifled and does feel like they have not been given the opportunities to showcase their work because it's too niche or it's too, they don't have enough variety. You know, like I feel like I hear that a lot where artists aren't showcased at an opportunity because their work is too similar or it's too, you know, niche and branded. And it's for us, it's really about seeing them light up at having a whole group of people and having a mix of people coming in and out throughout the evening and really not only seeing their work, but they're there and like they get to connect and they get to see what people take away from their pieces. And it is always learning and growing too. If they see a piece that they thought, what I always love actually is when someone does a piece and I come in and I'm always like eager to talk to all the artists and like, you know, kind of pick their brain and everything.
Right.
And like, there'll be a piece where like they did and they're like, for me, this was a focus on the Great Depression and and really growing out of it and how our ancestors like found their light. And I was like, well, I see today and I see our community that's struggling right now. And I see like trans activism and like, I'm making all that up off the top of my head, but literally everyone sees something different in the art. And I think that it's really helpful for the artist to hear that, to hear those voices say, I see this because what I'm going through and what my world is, I'm projecting onto your piece this. And like, this is what I see. And then they're like, wow, that's really cool. I think I could like heighten that, or I think I could, you know, actually make that even more prominent and like do something else that kind of weaves that in and really expand upon that. And I've seen that happen many, countless times at Art Lab where an artist has been like, that's what you see. Wow. Like, and then they get thinking, wow, I can do more with that. I can, I can build upon that. I can add layers and elements that more so speak to that. And like, really, and then of course, like that person's like, I'm actually connected to a nonprofit organization for what we're talking about. Hey, maybe you should commission a piece for us. And like, that's just how everything happens. It's really, when it's organic and when it's natural, I feel like that's when the best partnerships and collaborations really thrive and really, you know.
So there's an there's definitely an underlying current of everybody getting to be them and then finding out how that fits together.
And perception.
Right.
Yeah.
So Art Lab kind of takes us to that point. And now you're 2 years there and you got a lot of seeds growing in that pasture. But you've got a new event coming up called Cabaret on the Boulevard, correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So we are collaborating with the original Wolfie's Rascal House. It's a New York deli kind of Broadway themed space where the Overton used to be.
Oh, cool.
It is cool. It's fun. I don't know if it's still on, but in the beginning when you walked in the door, there were loud claps. It felt great. Everyone was clapping for you. It was like this repeat of clapping. It was kind of funny.
Nice.
But the majority of the space is a deli, indoors. You know, there's also outdoor space. This is the courtyard area in the Rosemary District at Central and Boulevard of the Arts.
Okay.
And then I'd say about a third to a half of the space is like a bar. It's a cocktail area. Mm-hmm. We are setting up our staging and lighting outside in the courtyard. The stage will face the restaurant. So this will be an outdoor performance. We've organized a nice bit of kind of intimate seating, which is reserved seating. The event is this Saturday, June 29th. The event starts at 8 p.m., doors at 7:30. We have a variety of acts. You know, this is something we want to do, every fourth Saturday. So once a month, we'll have a different theme. This theme is Cirque. With that, I'll let you tell about
the
performers.
Yeah, so I think something that I've worked in New York City and my whole background, I've worked a lot with cabarets and different showcases. And in New York City, it's really about getting out there and getting in front of agents, getting your reels, getting all that kind of stuff. Honing in on like what you're marketable for in the theater community. And this is completely different. This is a show. Mm-hmm. And I think what we really focused on was interactiveness, immersiveness, being a part of it all. So we encouraged the performers they don't go like backstage and they don't, you know, get ready for whatever's next. They're in the audience and they're like milling around the audience and connecting with the audience. And we've chosen pieces that are, you know, really different and really engaging and have a sense of not only variety, but the through line is definitely connecting. I think that one thing, I've been to a million cabarets and I've been to a million showcases and that kind of stuff. And a lot of it is just park and bark. You know, you go through your song and it's there it is. And then it's applause and done. But with this, I think that everyone will be they won't be able to take their eyes off of what's going on stage. And it's such a variety of different mediums, much like I think really where it stemmed from with Art Lab and Gray and everything,
right,
is it's so many different things. It's, you know, don't, not to give away too much, but it's like fire breathing, that kind of stuff is something that we've woven in as spectacle and as different pieces to keep people really engaged, and been very strategic about where we place the different acts and numbers and people working together. Like, for example, we have a very talented local vocalist who's doing a song, and then we have someone coming in from St. Pete who's a performer who is a dancer and burlesque performer, and they're marrying their arts together, doing a piece together.
Very
cool.
So the
singer will be singing, and then the performer, she'll be, you know, dancing and, like, doing her thing. So it's kind of a really cool collaboration. Everything's about collaboration for us. And the biggest collaborator of it all is the audience. So we're collaborating with the audience through the performance.
What makes you feel that way, that the audience is the biggest collaborator? That's an interesting take.
Definitely. So I, in my past performing in countless shows and, you know, book shows too, where it's like we're in tech rehearsals for, you know, what's like a really standard show, like Carousel the Musical, a Golden Age musical. And you're there and you're going through your motions and you're doing your costume changes and everything. But really, it's activated by the audience. It's activated by their energy. And with this, we more so honed in on that and realized that the audience is part of the show. And that's something that I've always wanted to activate. And I've in the past tried to do things that are more inclusive of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
No one really wants the whole, like, come up on stage and put on a hat and like do that.
Like it's the magician routine.
Exactly. So it's very much so not that, but it's, you know, direct eye contact and like moving around and like connecting with the people and playing off of the people and being open. And, you know, it's just it's a good time and it's fun. And I feel like everyone will feel connected to the performers and they'll feel like that they're included. The worst thing in the world is to watch a performance that you feel like you could have watched at home on the screen.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Regardless of what the performance
exactly,
is.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's, we are definitely 100% responsive and engaged with the audience and we're playing with them. So it's, they're more so a part of it than we are, I think, honestly. Like their energy and their, just being there and being a part of it all is what activates it for us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's already that natural performer audience member relationship. The two need each other, you know, like certainly, you know, as a former performer, like I like to dance and I like to sing, but I'm doing it for an audience, you know,
right.
And I'm looking for a reaction, you know, so there'll be some dialogue between, you know, the host and the performers, and we'll be getting them to engage with the audience members. So maybe the audience will speak back also, you know.
We welcome it. Yeah, for sure.
So what's the main, I see a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. What do you see as the main difference between an experience going to Art Lab and what an experience going to your new event will be like?
Yeah.
So, you know, cabaret is more of a curated, organized show where there is seating, you know, there is a lot more structure to it, you know, maybe some more predictability. And then with something like Art Lab, this is kind of more of a networking kind of, you know, loungy environment. It's more relaxed and it's there is room for more conversation of that audience or the guests, you know, also between each other.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it is a show. And I think it's more so of a show than a typical cabaret is. The through lines and the way that we've connected the different acts and the different, having a theme as the, you know, kind of catalyst for the show really helps us, because then the performers select pieces that they think plug into Cirque theme and it's really fun. And then costuming comes in and it's a spectacle of costumes and lighting and design. So seeing all those worlds get married together to put something really incredible on stage is it's really rewarding. And it is so different. I think, the amount of cabarets I've worked on, like especially in New York, where everyone moves so fast and it's the same follow spot, light, the same stage, the same everything.
That's what you mean by a typical cabaret?
A typical Park and Burke cabaret where they just do their song and they're done. Like, this is going to be a lot of movement. It's going to be a lot of, you know, changing lighting. It's going to be a lot of spectacle costumes. It's going to be a lot of eye candy, for lack of better word.
I was
going
to say sexy.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be sexy, y'all. It's going to be sexy.
It's going to be a spectacle for sure. So...
Well, you both have brought up things that I'm curious about. You've mentioned a couple of times that you're from New York, and I know you said you're from Atlanta. I'm curious why, not necessarily why you ended up here, but what makes you invigorated to do what you're doing here compared to these bigger markets that you were in? Yeah. Is it, you know, just the saturation of those markets is a pain to do anything other than the standard in? Or is it just that Sarasota does offer some unique things that you guys are uncovering?
I think that I would say it's more about the opportunity, you know. Sure, there's a lot more saturation. I'll take on any challenge, you know, whether it's in New York or Atlanta. But I mean, being here in Sarasota, there is more of a need, I think. So there is opportunity and wanting to fill that need. You know, again, like I've had a lot of conversations with people who have been here for a while. Some of them in the last 2 years that I've been getting involved in the community are already moved to St. Pete or they're gone because they kind of gave up.
Right.
Like, don't give up.
Right.
You know, I mean, I get it. I've been doing this for a decent amount of time now. I've moved through different networks here in town and kind of, you know, made my own observations and handled, you know, some obstacles of my own. I can see where, you know, one could be discouraged, but, you know, the opportunity is there and people want it. And, you know, I am personally in a much bigger, better place today, this year, to feel like I can continue to merge, collaborate with venues and people where we are curating, creating something from top to bottom, start to end. Mm-hmm. You know, it certainly is nice to be called by people who have budgets that want to hire me to do any version of what I do, big or small. But the opportunity to create is abundant. There are a lot of places that want to reinvigorate the arts, reinvigorate their own space, and, you know, the win-win of driving the crowd to us and them at the same time and just, you know, creating beautiful things. So.
And you find that to be particularly the case here?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I actually moved on contract with Florida Studio Theater. So I was here for a year with Florida Studio Theater doing their season. So I was supposed to go back to New York City.
Big supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. And then I literally fell in love with the arts and culture and community here. And the fact that the conversations I was having with people and the connections I was making, they were unique. They were not like the connections and collaborations I was having in the city. So I felt like there was a sense of... who do you know type of thing in New York where I was always trying to play to, well, oh, I know this person. And, oh, I was a part of this with her and we did this show together. Talk to me, please. Like, you know, like it was just kind of that. And I mean, I did an off-Broadway show and I did a bunch of stuff and like I was doing it, but that's not what I wanted to be doing. I wanted to be actually authentically talking to people and authentically, you know, mind melding with them and openly not putting out my branded, you know, persona of what I was supposed to be and what, you know, I was good for and what all that was. And here I felt like it was more so a sense of, well, what do you want to be? What do you want to do?
Ah.
What can we do? What can we do together? What can we collaborate on? This one, you know, like definitely one of those people.
Well, that's a humongous difference between what are you good at and what do you want to be good at? What do you see yourself doing with what you're good at?
Yeah.
So did you feel that as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of people don't see themselves in whatever they're doing. You know, they can't see how, like, see their own potential.
Right.
You know, I am a constant believer. I believe.
Amen.
You know? And like, amen. You know, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on a commitment, whatever that commitment is. Like, and at this point, the commitments as far as, you know, professionally and with Gray are... to the brand and what it means and what it's intended to do, its purpose, to the community and to the people that I've actually met and worked with and like and enjoy being around. You know, it's like somebody's got to lead and somebody's got to carry all the weight of what we're doing.
Facts.
And as one has an opportunity to become more and more emotionally mature, we can navigate all of these different personalities and ideas and opinions and judgments and continue to lead people to more of a place of love, because that's what it comes down to for me at the end of the day. You know, this is a really beautiful, fragile experience being a human being. We are all getting quite wrapped up in our own minds, you know, and in all of this social constructs and things that are going on and culture and ideas that are being fed to us that are designed to divide and create mm-hmm. fear. And, you know, I believe that the opposite of fear is love, you know, so you got to choose which one you want and what
this
you want to give.
Bill Hicks said that. There's always a choice between fear and love.
Who?
Bill Hicks.
Love it.
He was a famous comedian, actually.
You know, and like when we give out love, we are the first to receive that love, you know, so it's good self-care. Mm-hmm. You know, more and love, more compassion.
Do you see that being able to become full circle? I don't want to say easier, but maybe with less resistance in an environment like Sarasota as opposed to the bigger markets?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, 1,000,000%. Like if we were to do something like this in the city, and I actually was doing stuff like this in the city, and it was all about who do you have, like, who's on Broadway right now? Like, who are the headliners? Like, it wasn't about what it was going to be. It was about who was going to be in it. And it kind of stifled a lot of what we were trying to do.
Right.
And we as in, like, really me. Like, I was just trying to kind of create things and activate things and kind of do the same thing as here. Like, I've always tried to provide a platform and be, you know, a facilitator of connection and all that, and a facilitator of platform. I think that that's huge. So many performers don't get the opportunity to perform, and especially with some of the theaters in the area being so, they have their people that they rely on and that they know. And I completely understand that from like a business perspective where they're right. Like, we know this person will perform. We know this person, what they are capable of. We know this person that they'll show up to rehearsals. They'll show up to the shows, you know, like they'll get the job done, but it does leave room for opportunity for, you know, the people who are trying to get into it and trying to be seen and put their art form out there. But
painting by number is boring.
Yeah, exactly. And people have seen it before, and I've heard that from, like, nothing to discredit any of like the theaters or anything. But
of course not.
But people have said to me personally, like, oh, her again? Like, you know, yeah. Like in the same kind of like lead role. Like, why? Okay. And the talent is there. The talent is abundantly there here in Sarasota. I have witnessed it. I've seen it. Like, there's incredible talent here, and just giving them the opportunity and giving them the opportunity to just soar and to like really show what they have and give them that. I think that is, and they recognize it. I think that's something that is easy to not recognize. And I think that every single performer has been grateful and excited, and they've come up with interesting concepts, and they're full throttle in, like they explore different materials that they can do and what they can bring to the table and what they want to do. And we're always open for dialogue with that. And I think that's something that, you know, is different than a traditional show where you're casting for this role. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, this is what this role does. With this, it's more so we see this ember in you and we see this talent and we want to showcase it and we want it to be out there. And this is your opportunity to really create a number in which you're showcased and in which you can do something that might not be in a show even. It might be something that's so different and so unique to you, but it's your passion, and passion is infectious. I mean, if someone goes out there and they perform a number that they're passionate about, I can guarantee more people will connect with that than seeing a book show that's like cookie cutter and someone's just plugging in and learn the numbers and doing it, than someone who has really curated this piece and really rehearsed it and figured it out, choreographed it themselves, like kind of thought through everything about it. And it comes from them. And they're the artists that actually, you know, are presenting something that they've organically wanted to do and like actually put out there for the world to see. So I think that
right.
that through line of just passion and invigoration, it comes from deep down in those performers' souls, yeah. I think.
One of our performers was asking me, that's coming from St. Pete, like, you know, how to describe the community here, like who would be attending to decide, you know, what he was going to perform. And I, you know, I explained kind of the demographic that I understand, but I said, we're not going to like dumb things down or, you know, tame this a whole lot just to please people, to give them something predictable that they feel safe with, whatever that safety level is.
Yeah, right. Good luck hitting that target. Yeah, right.
But, you know, this is a cabaret. It is outside. It by nature, it's varietal. It's new. It's different. It's unpredictable. I mean, usually this is something that happens inside. And it's June. It's Pride Month, you know. So we're focused on celebrating the individual, the love that connects us all, you know, and curiosity about understanding another person, you know, and whether that's, you know, their belief in something or not, or, you know, how they view art or, you know, what entertains them. We want to give people something that they wouldn't choose on their own also, you know, necessarily, and show them something different and new.
And at the same time, I think that the reason we picked Cirque as our first, you know, kind of theme mm-hmm. is Sarasota is so important to all of us, and really to pay homage to our roots in the circus. I feel like every day when I'm at a new place in Sarasota and I see the legacy of like really what Sarasota was with the whole right. circus and everything. So I think that was just kind of a natural first one, because it is like the beginning of like where Sarasota kind of found its light, and Sarasota kind of became, the circus was the economic driver for
absolutely.
Sarasota during
and
that
that's
time.
Really nowadays hard to notice. I've been here for about 20 years, and I remember when I very first started coming here how much it reeked of like a circus town.
Yeah.
The eclectic nature and the eccentricities of things were really palatable. And I think that's why I asked you guys what it was like when you first came here, because I feel like people that can, I hate to use the word sense it, but sense it at all, when they come here, it's like, whoo, mm-hmm. it feels like there's some kind of something here.
Yeah. That was a nice surprise for me. I mean, you know, I had been here once before we moved. And when I arrived and kind of observed the towns around me, you know, I discovered Village of the Arts in Bradenton, which is where I live. And then, you know, found out, oh, this is a circus town, you know, and it's actually heavily centered in the arts. You know, it's perfect for me. So it's great that, you know, I've been brought here by the powers that be so that I can do what I do best.
And literally to like back step two, like she's perfect for it. Like literally the amount of things that she has done and really just provided is abundant. And I think that the community has latched onto you as a human and Gray as a, you know, facilitator for all of this. But I think that we needed literally.
Yeah. And that's why I'm really curious to see how you guys experience this and how you're witnessing it, because it is a community thing, but it is, like you've mentioned a couple of times, it is a perception shift. It is a different way to see things. You can come into any city, a city like this, and you can see it for Bitcoin Boys or whatever it is, or you can see it for the fact that this is where the circus literally pitch tent.
Yeah.
For, you know, so I'm always curious in what people's perceptions are of the way things are changing here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, we're going to remind people a little bit of, you know, what the true nature of the town is. It, you know, the eclectic, mm-hmm. Piece of the circus and the spectacle and the variety that is, you know, that is Sarasota.
I feel like we should have the Katazan on the flag or something. Yeah. It's like, that's,
it's coming to mind as we're talking.
Definitely.
Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know what the Katazan is, that was John and Mabel Ringling's house here. It's situated on like the most beautiful spot.
Gorgeous.
The steps in the back lead right into the water, and the house is like so ornately done. It seems like psychedelic beyond belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. That whole property is amazing. I love going there. The Rose Garden.
Yeah.
It's magical.
Yeah.
So what do you hope to see in the future with these events? Obviously you want to keep throwing them, but how are you going to gauge we're moving in the right direction? What's the next yard marker, as it were?
Yeah, I'm excited to see I mean, of course, we have a dress rehearsal and everything. And I think that that's going to be, you know, really cool to see what people are bringing and what, you know, how it all fits together. And I think it's going to be like the perfect. I've done a lot of shows where there hasn't been a dress rehearsal before. And you like, honestly, and like you just go up and it is what it is. And you kind of like feel that vibe and it takes a certain type. And I feel like I have that for some reason where I'm able to kind of step into something and have a song and like plug into a show that I've never even been at the venue before, even maybe. And like, just
that's
do
awesome.
It. But this is not that. Like, this is going to be very connecting of the performers. Like, they'll all be there together for this night of, you know, setting the lights and like getting everything perfect. And I think that that preparation and that kind of just coming together of the performers and getting on the same page, I think that that's something that's going to enhance the show so much, because they do have that opportunity to find places where they can interact with the audience and can find places. And I'm excited to see how that's perceived. I'm excited to see, I personally have seen so many cabarets and so many shows here in Sarasota, and I've never seen anything where it is as big of a variety and as
awesome.
Interactive and as inclusive, and especially with the space too. It's so much fun because it's like this incredible space right in the heart of the Rosemary District. And
love
it's
it.
Just like, you know, it's perfect. It's literally like we couldn't have asked for a better space and for what we're doing too. And the stage that we have too, it has steps down. So it's very encouraging of audience interaction.
That's cool.
And of kind of like going out into the audience.
See, those are the details.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we've really kind of curated it. I mean, it's honestly been, we've been working on this for quite some time, and it's, everything has really been hand-selected, from the stage, from the lights, from the people, from the sets, just everything. It's been, we wanted to provide that really, yeah.
Thoughtful. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of thoughtful planning around it, but we want to see people come. We want to see you show up. We want to see people in seats, and we want to see them stand up and clap.
So
you know, that's how we know where,
I mean,
we know we're doing a good job if people are coming, and then if they're coming back, you know, we have been promoting this for, I mean, really maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And it is summer. So, you know, we know what goes into that. But at the same time, a lot of people are, as far as businesses and, you know, like as far as things to do, that is kind of dying down, right? People think, oh, it's summer, I'm not going to do as much because the tourists are.
Right.
But like people still live here.
Not to mention the fact that the season break now is like 5 minutes.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, and full disclosure, we are in the Rosemary District right now. I live in the Rosemary District.
Yes.
So when things are going down here and the reinvigoration of everything around here, we are well on board of it and super supportive of that. So
yeah. Thank
that's
you.
Very cool that. To hear. So let's get you out of here on something fun. And I don't mean to put you on the spot if you feel on the spot, but something fun. Tell me what your dream venue would be and what the event would be. If it's a cabaret thing or a philanthropy thing, or if you could wave the wand and you got the budget, what's the dream night looking that you two are throwing together?
Yeah.
What you got?
Ooh, I think, oh man, that's huge. It's amazing. it's such a cool question. I think, honestly, I really like activating spaces that are not what people would think.
Yeah.
I would ask for like a warehouse somewhere that has never had a performance in it ever. And I would ask for huge trusses and huge like light up stage elements and activate different parts of it with like three different stages where there's stuff going on in all three stages at the same time. And people could wander and kind of just connect with the different activations that are happening.
Oh man, you
I
got
think
me
that'd
there.
Be really, really
you
cool.
got me there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that'd be my dream.
There, you know, there's a few for me. I think the most meaningful would be the Fox Theater in Atlanta.
Oh, nice.
My stepdad performed there, and I remember running up, you know, and around the backstage area and all the fun I used to have, like braiding a particular male dancer's long hair. And it was such a fun childhood
that's a classic
that I
venue.
Had. And it's beautiful. And yeah, that's my hometown. So it'd be really cool to have things come back full circle.
Roots.
And what kind of event would you throw at the Fox Theater?
Oh, it would have to be some sort of live show that was collaborative, you know, live music, live dance. You know, I would like to try, I would infuse as much as I could, you know, but Yeah. I mean, I do have a particular production. It is called Woven, as you know, I brought up a little bit earlier, and I conceptualized this a couple of years ago. It's a very expensive production. I need a lot more friends before I try to do that. Hey. And you know, I needed to kind of move. I need to move through this community a little bit before I embark on something that big, but having that particular production there would be really cool.
Well, there you go. That's a goal. I'm in on that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Stephanie, Brian, it's been awesome hearing from you guys. I really appreciate you sharing your backgrounds and everything you got going on. I look forward to attending some of your events and the family getting out there and seeing you guys and what you got going on as well. It sounawesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
K the family.
Yeah, that's us. We're part of the family.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.